Experience.
Batman Experience.
Batman Experience. Batman Experience. Experience.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Experience, presented by DraftKings 2021 Charles Schwab Challenge Picks Preview. One and done, plus a recap of Phil's triumph at the 2021 PGA Championship. Kiawah Islands, Ocean Course. It was a weekend, I would say, to remember, because I'm going to remember that one for a while. That was an awesome weekend, and we'll get into some of the problems, but none of it actually had to do with any of the golf on the course. It was immaculate in terms of a major, one of the best majors I can remember, at least from a TV viewing experience and just being wrapped up in it quite some time. Watched basically 14 hours of golf for four straight days. And even at the Masters, I'm watching it on my phone. I'm watching it over here at the PGA Championship. I was just glued to the feed. If the feed was better, that probably would have made it even better. But hey, I don't want to complain too much. We got an awesome tournament out of it. I want to remind everyone out there to smash the like button to the video in the comment section. Please tell me your single favorite value in the betting market on the board at Colonial this week, because the field is pretty good. We'll run it through with Jeff Feinberg here in a minute. Want to let everyone know as well to rate, review, and subscribe to the Pat Mayo Experience audio podcast. Thank you to everyone who got into the draws last week, who consumed all of the content, shared it around, clicked on the articles. Between video, articles, downloads, podcasts, whatever it might be, we had over 2 million clicks, downloads, and views, and that is a new record for the Pat Mayo Experience, so I do want to thank each and every one of you out there. I'm cracking up in my voice already. It really means a lot that you guys enjoy the content, no matter how shitty the picks may be. Lost my shirt last week, and I'm probably you too. Not everyone out there, because I do have some winners who, when they tuned into the live chat on Wednesday, I did make the proclamation that if you really want to get tricky, the ultimate game theory play would be Brooks and Cantlay and build your teams around that. And some people actually did that, and it led to five-figure wins. So congratulations to those guys. Happy Noonan won, took home 50K. Clay Eads won 4K, and putt cost him a bunch of money at the end. If I think Phil, it was either Ricky missing the birdie putt or Phil missing the birdie putt on 18 cost him like 15K. So that's tough. There was also a bunch of other four-figure winners, and with Cust cursing Phil each and every day, there were a few Phil Mickelson tickets I saw out there. I didn't have any, but some were tweeted at me, so congratulations to everyone out there who picked up a 200-1, 250-1, 80-1 after round one. It's pretty awesome stuff. Listeners League link in the description of the video and pod. FantasyNational.com/Mayo gets you 20% off, and you're probably going to want to jump in on that now that we're back to regular fields. But Jeff Feinberg, at GFeinberg17, is on the line. Sir, what did you make of the PGA Championship?
I loved it. I thought it was great. In the end, I found myself pulling for Phil. Tim, with one of the great all-time reverse curses. Make that near Custy's notes. I mean, even if he didn't believe it, I still believe he was reverse cursing it the whole way. And props to anybody who made the live bets. I saw it as high as 375-1. Pat, incredible. Even on Friday, I never would have believed it. Friday afternoon, Saturday morning, it was just magical. All the credit to him. Everybody got punched in the mouth, came back a little bit, but again, just wilted away. He probably won that tournament on Friday afternoon, though, you would say, correct?
Maybe. It's just his iron. I mean, his tee to green was first, obviously, in the field. He's like the short game and the irons and just the ability. Obviously, he hit the longest drive of the day. I think it was on number 16. With the wind finally at his back. But just his ability to not get himself into too much trouble off the tee and let the rest of the game take over was not something I saw coming. Put it that way.
Yeah, I don't know. There were countless times. I mean, he has the two water balls quickly on the back nine on Saturday. And you think, okay, now it's going to happen. It never happened. He just kept barreling on. I don't know. It was absolutely incredible. And you look at that leaderboard. It was so strange in many ways. I mean, look at how well Padraig played. I think you really could have gained a lot by ignoring Rory and looking at that 2012 leaderboard. Granted, the sample size is small. It's certain we're going to be back at Kiawah Island. So I don't know. I think it's, I think we can take a lot from this one again. The oldest major champion ever on the longest, tee sheet major champion course ever. What a, what a, What sort of simulation are we in, Patrick?
It's funny you mentioned
like, what is going on, man?
The rest of the guys after Rory on that leaderboard, because we kind of spoke about it, it was like feisty Euros were the guys after Rory. Then you see Harrington, Lowry ends up, Louis, obviously not a European, but he's also an international, another older player. But just the similarities between that leaderboard and guys that have won both the Open Championship and played really well in Phoenix. It was essentially the Waste Management Open leaderboard, if you just took the best collection of guys who played there over the past 5 years.
Yeah, you are not wrong. And I mean, geez, a couple of things. You're absolutely right. I discussed it on my Wednesday night show, Pat. My most profitable lineup in DraftKings, the thing that kind of almost saved my entire bacon on DraftKings, was a Forgotten Entities lineup that I spoke about with Cupmaker Jeff. And it included Brooks. It included Cantley. It even included Finau. Now, in my mind, he's forgotten about because he was still like, you know, 45-1 kind of. So sort of more like it had Ricky, sort of more like an odds. Just like if we were in January, like this lineup would be amazing and I wouldn't be able to make it. But I'm making it right now. Sadly, speaking of Forgotten Entities, it didn't have the absolute Forgotten Entity in Phil. And I don't know, man, that week's going to live forever. Sometimes history is in a sad way, lives forever. There are landmark moments that live forever that just will always represent sadness. I'm not talking about sports. I'm just talking about, you know, life tragedies or world tragedies. But there are moments that will live forever, weeks that will live forever, weekends that will live forever, in the most positive ways imaginable. And that is one of them, you know, from an outside of a personal standpoint. And if you're like my buddy or one of the many others that hit an absolute monster, then yeah, it's going to live forever in other ways as well. And who knew? Brian Gay was the table setter, Pat. Who knew he was the table setter for Westwood at the finish line 2 weeks in a row? Stuart Sink, now Phil Mickelson. I don't know. I mean, geez, I can't believe we're here. Sky bet him at Wells Fargo, you know, Mail Media, FTM Bet's very own, Skylar Hoke, bet him at Wells Fargo. You know, I was all about the top senior at the Masters. That was fun. And at the Wells Fargo, you saw that interview. He's like, listen, I'm playing better. I'm feeling good. I can't keep my concentration. I cannot keep concentration on a golf course. You know, and then when he last won, it was a Pebble in Mexico. Before Mexico, he was going late in that tournament in the lead up ones. He goes, I get so nervous contending now. Like, this is so weird. I can't believe that was happening. So I'm having those thoughts. Like, is he struggling with his concentration? Like, how nervous is he going to be? And he just kept chomping and was a stone cold killer behind those frames, man. And magic. So yeah, magic. There, I said a lot.
Yeah, it wasn't, I mean, just the crowds following him up 18. It was a really great moment to see, except for when they tried to trample Phil at one point. I was like, good Lord, man, this guy is 50. At least let him get to the green. You don't want to end his career before
Brooks
he goes.
Brooks didn't take too kind to it.
Well, Brooks said that people were running into him and hurting his leg. The good thing for Brooks is that Phil won, so that the story is Phil. Now, if someone like Streelman had somehow won and not been like shunned by Phil when everyone was giving him high fives, which was personally probably my favorite moment. My two favorite moments were after it happened was Rom cutting Ricky in the hug line. So like that's terrible news. The number one comment I saw on it, someone tweeted it at me, was that Ricky didn't qualify for the hug line. He had to use his special exemption, so he had to go second.
I'm glowing about Ricky too, man. I mean, there are many angles could take this thing, and everyone like me, you know, talks about how sort of a big of a motivator this is for Tiger. This is a motivator. For determined people in all walks of life, but any of those guys grinding on tour, from a Ricky to a Hunter Mahan, like I don't know who you are, Martin Keimer, you know, you could just keep grinding. Keep grinding. Who's next? I mean, we almost saw Furyk at the Players. We've had some like close ones, but I don't know, man. That didn't really feel real till he hit that putt early on the back nine that he's actually going to freaking do it.
Well, the point that I wanted to make was that Phil wins fills the story. Obviously, that's one of the it's going to be one of the biggest stories in sports in 2021 that Phil won a major at 50.
Oh, it was world news last night.
But if Streelman wins, the talk today isn't about Streelman winning. It's about Brooks collapsing in a major again.
I joked on Twitter, Pat. I guess the niche pocket of golf WWE fans isn't big enough. This was one of those one tweets where I'm like, I don't really like retweeting my own tweets, so I didn't really go there this time. I feel like either people accept them or they don't, kind of. I was like, oh, Brooks, T2 to Tiger, T2 to Phil. He's no Randy Orton legend killer.
Is Randy Orton still
Didn't work here either. Guess it was a shitty tweet. Wasn't funny.
Does he still wrestle?
Not funny. Pardon?
Does Randy Orton still wrestle?
Yeah, he's still in like the main event picture and stuff.
Okay.
I haven't watched in a while, despite being a lifelong fan. Yeah, listen, Brooks there again. I'm not gonna pick stones. Like people are like, he couldn't hold off Gary Woodland. So what, man? Winning is hard. Like, I give Finau and I give a lot of losers some free passes. You think I have anything bad to say? Because Brooks, you know, didn't play well like even last year at the PGA. Who cares? The guy contends, he's amazing. The only peace of mind I probably got out of the weekend was that we're celebrating the Monster Phil tickets, and I don't have to feel like a moron for not taking the 50 on Brooks.
Yeah, I mean, we still should have taken the 50 on Brooks. That was the bet. And the only reason that we didn't take it was a losing bet, obviously. But the only reason that we didn't take it is because we made it at the Masters, and it turned out so poorly for us that we just threw it off to the side. Like, if we hadn't have bet him at the Masters, we would have bet him here. And that is the stupidest way to gamble, hence why the two of us did it.
Yeah, and whatever. No one's watching me for winners at the moment, Pat, but 50 is the magic number. Cause even someone's like, you'll never see him at 50 again. I'm like, we would have thought that when he won Waste Management at 50 for us Super Bowl Sunday. So full credit to Brooks. I don't know, a lot of great stories, right? From Padraig to being the top guy, Ricky exemption into a paycheck, into hopefully maybe some life. And as silly as it sounds, Pat, like Ricky, for all like the, there's a lot of jokes that can be made about Ricky, but I think for even at the time where he was considered a higher end player, he was one of the more feisty American players that you would have maybe said could work here. Cause he, you know, when we see it at open championships, he's not like one of those guys that gets discouraged in the wind per se, but it was great to see. I wish he hit that putt on the last to keep a top five. Rahm and Finau just do nothing and get their top 10s in majors. And you know, Zalatoris, he's like the safest placing bet in the game. Louis should have won. I still kind of feel that way. Nothing to do with bets.
Yeah, it's funny. Louis probably, like, when I looked at the, like, Saturday stats.
Look, another one right, pal.
I looked at the Saturday stats and, you know, my heart said I wanted Phil to win. That's a great story. None of my guys, unless Casey made some sort of heroic run, and being the guy who lost the most strokes putting inside of the top 10, then, you know, that's classic Paul Casey. Just at least Phil opens up the door that Casey now has another 8 years of coming in fourth at the PGA Championship. But my guys just weren't making a run. Zalatoris, I felt, was going to be the guy if he went low because he was out a bit earlier, then the wind picked up and destroyed everyone at the top. Obviously, that didn't happen. But it was either hole 13 or 14, both Friday and Saturday. He absolutely mangled it. And if he doesn't, I think he four-putted it once and three-putted it another day, just the same hole back-to-back. Like, he doesn't do that. Like, he's there. So it's another top 10 at a major for Will Zalatoris. So that's three in a row now, U.S. Open, Masters, and PGA Championship. Like, it's funny because his resume right now is starting to look like Xander's did when Xander first broke onto the scene. It's like, he doesn't have the win yet, and obviously Xander has four now.
Xander's resume up until last week, I don't know, still pretty freaking amazing.
But before Xander became like Xander, who's 20-1 every single week, it was, hey, Xander was Finau was open, like Xander's seventh at the U.S. Open. Oh, geez, Xander was fifth at the PGA Championship. Zalatoris is just lingering the entire time. Obviously, at the Masters, he had a chance to win. He never had a chance to win this one on Sunday, but he keeps just... Once he fine-tunes the game a little bit, he's going to be right there. And I'm starting to wonder, is he one of these guys who's just a better play at these harder field tournaments? It's really strange to say.
Harder fields. Yeah, I could sort of see what you're saying. Can the putter hold him back from a birdie party? I mean, despite the skill, he wasn't a prolific Korn Ferry winner, right?
No, he was like top five a lot.
Yeah, he didn't like have this insane, because we've seen guys be like insanely prolific Korn Ferry winners and not sort of have the success that Zalatoris is having. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's funny. People want to give Zalatoris's Ryder Cup spot to Phil. Like, what's going on?
Well, that's the big story right now. Can they leave Phil off the Ryder Cup team?
It's up to me. That pick, like, it almost was, since we've been doing this show, the stalwarts on the team make that pick. If those guys at the very top want Phil there, Phil is there. Like, I think, yeah, I don't know. I think they like Phil more for the road games. He picks up a lot of like travel tabs. Not to say these guys have trouble paying for anything, but they always used to joke back in the day, the younger Ryder Cup players, that like Phil would like buy them nice suits and stuff.
Well, and it's hard to leave him off now, because like before it would have been, hey, there's no Tiger, let's put Phil on the team. It's like, Phil has two wins on the seniors tour and has yet to be competitive in a PGA event in ages. Now he has a major. Like, the case is there for him. No one's going to dispute him being on the team at this point, even if he is dog shit for the next 3 months. But he moved.
Well, that's the problem. He can get on that team playing dog shit? I mean, there's still too much golf left. If it was just like a blip of amazingness, I don't know that he gets on the team. He would have to be, again, they'd have to bang the table for him. That being said, there's sessions. You can sit guys out. There is a place for Phil. But you could argue, I don't know, man. They've never done like the let's take a kid. Like they always would rather take the Phil than say take a Will, like to groom him, just to give him an experience on the bench. You even see it with like World Cup soccer rosters. Like sometimes they just want you to take that 18-year, that young phenom who won't even see the pitch, just to like get the experience. I don't know. Today I vote for Phil, but September's a long way away. I still wanted to see Spieth continue consistency to guarantee his spot, which he certainly has. And he's on the team too, you would argue. And guys are falling off the team that you might have thought might have been staples, maybe. So who knows?
Well, right now, Spieth is 11th in the standings. Phil is 16th. Zalatoris is 18th. But there's a couple guys who are up there from wins. You're like, oh, really? Like Harris English is currently 14th. Webb is 10th. Like Webb, I don't know if he's going to end up making this Ryder Cup team. Like Daniel Berger's number 9, Horschel's number 12, Cantlay's 13. Then you have like Reed and Finau at 7 and 8. Then you have the big six who are probably pretty much locked in. Like Reed is almost a guarantee to be on the team at this point, you'd have to think. Berger, probably so. Spieth, probably so. But
well, Reed's winning Torrey Pines. He's going to be on the team.
He's probably going to be on the team either way, but Torrey Pines twice in 1 year would be tough. But like, is Cantlay back now? Like all of a sudden, like the putting woes, they continue, but the ball striking was great this week.
Let's be fair to Patrick Cantlay. Like, golf is hard. It was what, 3-4 events? Like that was clear. I'm going to assume, I'm not saying he's going to be great the next event he plays, but I think when, like, in a year from now, we're going to be laughing about, do you remember how he played in, like, March through April, like, through, or what, April through middle of May of 2021? He's going to do enough. I don't see him bottoming out.
No, I don't think so either. But just, like, the struggles that he had, and one of the reasons that it became so pronounced with Cantlay is because he was a favorite at some of these tournaments where like, oh, hey, I really like his chances this week. And then he doesn't play all that often, so it just seemed like the stretch was longer than it was because he got knocked out in the knockout stage of the match play, but he had played really well that week. I think Harman ended up winning that group. Like, he came 15th at the Genesis after two close calls at Amex in Pebble Beach. And that was, when was Riviera? Wasn't Riviera like middle of February? And then he played.
And then what, Players and Masters? Yeah. He like was a gong show.
Yeah, but that's 2 months though. We're from mid-February to mid-April. He played twice.
Yeah, and then you tried to buy the dip somewhere where it's like, well, now this Heritage. Is good. And it went horrible. I'm not making, you weren't the only one. I thought about it. And now I don't know. I'm Let them give them, leave hang a number at Torrey like you did last week. I'll be there.
Did you notice when Gary started melting down on Sunday, and it's just
on Saturday where he made three doubles?
No, but he was still kind of in it even going into Sunday, and he started off a bit hot. Under. But I think it was number, I want to say it was seven, because I feel like he had a bad seven, or maybe it was two. But he hit his second shot. It was on a par five. And he got himself caught up. It wasn't the one where he sculled it out of the mulch and came up short and ended up making double. It wasn't that one. There was another one where he played this approach shot, and he came out, and he was just, like, weirdly limping a little bit. Remember he had the labrum problem in his hip? It looked like it was bothering him.
To me.
But he recovered fine. Like, I didn't notice it the rest of the day, but I even went and rewound it this morning just because I had it recorded to go back and watch it. And there was, like, a two- or three-hole stretch out of the gate yesterday where it looked like he was just limping around a little bit. Now, it could be nothing. It could have just been an awkward angle that he was walking on. It just made it look that way where one foot was higher than the other because it was a slope. But it's something, if you weren't watching closely, you probably wouldn't pick up on. But I just wanted to throw that out there considering that we have Gary Woodland U.S. Open futures.
Yeah, big ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Between how he played at Wells Fargo and how he played for the most part, despite he found plenty of landmines, as a lot of guys did.
I know Tiger's win at the Masters is more meaningful, obviously, because it's Tiger and not Phil. What do you think's a bigger accomplishment? Like, what's more surprising? I feel like this is it.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm just dumb enough and naked eye. You go by, like, the odds. And, yeah, Tiger's odds are beaten down because there's, like, a public entity to it. But even if we debated what Tiger's fair odd would have been that week, what would we have said, 35 instead of 20? Like, Phil was still 100. Like, there's no – this was crazier. I feel like there's somebody – we're in a Truman Show game, and nothing you do matters at this point. Like, I don't know. That's really all I can make of this.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, there's a couple things. I don't really bet on guys ever at this age range, and a lot of them are winning, Pat. And my losing streak is kind of coinciding with winners coming from anywhere but the pocket I like to bet in. And the couple times they did come from that pocket, I certainly didn't have them. We were on such a great freaking run of that pocket hitting winners literally at like 85%, the pocket being like 25 to 40, 45 to 1. But it all started here. We didn't win at Charles Schwab. We had a bunch of runners. It was great to see Berger get off, but like it literally felt like we won. We were so happy to have golf back. It was such a great event. Charles Schwab started the run of literally only, you say silly because Phil won, but like only really good in the moment players winning. And let's get back to that so I can maybe try to win some bets.
Yeah, I'm going to scale back my approach this week in terms of bets. Probably no top 20s, no top 10s, no first round leaders. I'm just going to pick like five guys and bet them to win. I got to start managing my bankroll because it's getting grim. This is the worst golf betting year I've ever had. So apologies to anyone out there tailing us. Sometimes it's good. You know, if you tuned in at the beginning of COVID last year, you've about lost all that money back that we went on that sort of hot 8-week run.
I don't
run.
Think yet.
I have.
Oh. I got a few more. According to Odds Checker, we're still like in a very good total units, but the way they break it down, it can look like very grim. And I said it. I said it that freaking morning. We had two in a row going into Riv, and Finau could not make it happen versus Homa. And I'm like, my dark clouds, I called it. I'm a loser. I spoke it into existence, and it's goddamn here. Let's go. I don't even know what to make of this betting board. So I don't even know if I can help with losers this week.
Fortunately, Sky and Tom have us covered in the European Tour Picks and Bet Show, where they were giving out winners, we were tailing them, and winning money with them. I hope all of you do, too. That show comes out Monday evening on Mayo Media Network, so please tune into that. Sky and Tom are awesome. They've been doing really, really well with their picks over on the European Tour. It's a softer market right now on the American side, just because they kind of fluctuate the odds up and down because a lot of American bettors who want to place bets on the European Tour just don't know a lot of the names. And I think is it made in Denmark this week? I think that's where it is.
I don't know. It's something like Hummels. It reminds me of that thing Saul Baron, that little doll Saul Berenstein stole from the printer company.
What?
Never mind.
No, no, continue with that.
Saul, you better call Saul.
Oh.
Remember he like he goes for a job interview at a printer place and he realizes they have some valuable like Danish statue in like a chest. Never mind. Hummels.
Made in Himmerland. Let's see. Yeah,
Himmerland.
It's in Copenhagen. So it's the Made in Denmark. So I assume that means Hogard. Bobby Mack is playing, so he's back over there. He's the favorite at 12-1. But I wanted to
Thorbjorn playing great, like having like two top 15s or something since like he started playing golf again.
Yeah, but he did that in the Canary Islands with Higo being the only good guy in the field. Poor Higo, man. Tim found out who he was, and he shot like plus 10 on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay.
What are you doing there?
Oh, shit.
You got to talk into the microphone, pal.
Nothing. Never mind. All good.
You want me to let you finish your phone work here?
Nope. I'm just seeing numbers drop.
It's okay. We can do the show. We can get the numbers afterwards. The internet has us connected with the latest news, long-distance friends, and funny animal videos. Unfortunately, it also connected us with hackers and cyber criminals. Aura protects you from the worst of the internet so you can still enjoy the best of it, like the Pat Mayo Experience. Aura provides digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal information, and tech safe from online threats. It's all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more. With Aura, you'll get alerted to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked online, or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. Aura is easy to set up. All plans come with a $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experience US-based customer support that's got your back. Aura is the new type of security service that protects all of your online information and devices with one simple subscription. With an easy online dashboard and alerts sent straight to your phone, Aura keeps you in control and guides you through solving any issues. And right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access in 3 free months when you visit aura.com/mayo. And remember, this is a limited time offer, so you need to get on this now. Go to aura.com/mayo to get access before anyone else in 3 months free. Once again, that is a limited offer, so do it now. That's aura.com/mayo. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck. Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that come in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. I like the pomegranate from the ones I've had so far. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Also, tastes really great. And it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, on the golf course, even at the gym. If that's something that you're into, that's not so much for me. But at the golf course, that is perfect. So I'm not having a cig per hole. Just have a lozenge per hole. Actually, not even per hole, at least per my experience. It's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes. Unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple, and you don't have to leave your house because Lucy has the delivery down. The Pat Mayo Experience listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code MAYO to get 20% off your first order, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code MAYO at checkout, M-A-Y-O. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning! This product contains nicotine, derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code MAYO at checkout. I wanted to talk about the coverage very briefly because it was pathetic. And the app was pathetic. The only two players we saw in real time over the weekend were Phil. Well, it was Phil on Saturday only, and then it was Phil and Brooks on Sunday. And just the amount of time that they spent watching him walk down the fairway for no reason. I get that CBS is producing to a very old crowd, and they've tuned in to see Phil. But you're still CBS. You still show golf every single week, and not every week is Phil going to be winning, thus drawing all the eyeballs in to have people tune into your broadcast. So I don't understand why they're not at least creating storylines. Like, the Ricky, had he have made par on 18, he gets into the Masters. Like, that's a real storyline. People like Ricky Fowler, and they show us a putt 15 minutes after it actually happened. Like, that could have been the... There's so many alternative narratives going on at the same time where you don't need to be just watching these two guys. I'm not saying take anything away from the two leaders or Phil, but you don't need to be watching them 90% of the time. And CBS needs to be building a repertoire of players that... Especially because it's Phil. So I'm assuming the ratings for the final round of the PGA Championship are through the roof compared to even what they were last year when Morikawa ended up winning. So you're probably looking at like a, I don't know, a 6.5, 7, 7.5 rating, even going up against the NHL playoffs and the NBA playoffs at the same time. Like, this was a big moment. People tuned in. This was the sports story of Sunday. And it all had to do because Phil is the second biggest face in the game over the past 30 years. Like, everyone is tuning into this. My dad's texting me. My grandma gave me a call after it was done. My father-in-law texted me, hey, did you see Phil? It's like, yeah, I saw Phil. This is what I do for a living. You don't need to worry about that. But we could have been like, there were times like on 7, on 8, when they're on the course, like, you have guys finishing up their rounds. Like, Answer's finishing up his round. Morikawa's finishing up his round. All these guys who are, you know, making really nice golf shots. We didn't see anything from Lowry or Patty. We saw Patty chip in on the par three to get to like minus three, which was kind of live after the guys started melting down, at least for a brief period of time. But no, nothing after that. We're not going to see any drives from him. We're not going to see any shots from him. We're not going to see anything from Lowry, who ended up coming in T4. We didn't even see him all day. They're showing Louis on tape delay. I'm watching my app and I know what happens legit 10 minutes before I see it on the screen. Like, that's not what we should be doing here. CBS needs to be building a brand of guys. Like, how good of a story was it for Harry Higgs? Harry Higgs got himself into the Masters. They should have just been showing all of his shots as well. He's a character. He's someone who could be popular, especially if he stays good. But my dad and grandma who tuned in to watch Phil have never heard of Harry Higgs before. Or, as Tim thought, he was some British guy and he pronounced his name Harry Higgs, as we found out on Friday. But, like, there's a chance to build someone up. So when he's contending at Colonial this week or wherever, people at least have some familiarity with him. I don't understand it whatsoever.
For all the applauds being made to the coverage, I was really put off by it, Pat. No sport alienates its real, true, hardcore fans more than golf. I said it on Friday when we were doing the Cut Sweat show. It's like, I don't know, like that show Naked and Afraid or Naked and Alone. This coverage is literally like leaving your house without your wallet, keys, or cell phone. You feel naked. You feel nothing. I hate to use a grim analogy, but I literally felt like a mom waiting for a telegraph on the status of her son at war. That's what this coverage was. To people that are week in, week out supporting this tour, the people that give these networks their ratings, when it's not Phil, when it is KH Lee, we're the ones giving you points. So we're always shat on. We're always shat on, and we were shat on again. I can applaud, like, they gave hours, but I don't know. I didn't care for it. And I'm not even talking about Sunday for me. I'm really talking about the other parts of the tournament as well. It's more than just Sunday. I mean, they're showing guys are like a hole and a half ahead and we're seeing shots. And from a tour perspective, as I brought up on Friday, you run these ads for responsible gambling, for safe gambling. You want to get into gambling? Well, it's great that Bet365 has access to the only real-time shot tracking. That's great. That's great for 365. That's great for fans who are using 365. But it's wrong. It should also be available somewhere else, not attached to a betting board for your other fans who don't want to have to stare at a betting board or who feel uncomfortable staring at a betting board. It's not right. It's wrong.
And there's the point to it as well that most people didn't even know that the Bet365, because they have the IGM feed, IMG feed, sorry, that they're the ones who are the fastest in real time for both Euro and PGA almost at all times. But it's about similar with the regular PGA app week in, week out. Like, the fact that the PGA app wasn't able to produce the same sort of live coverage in terms of their shot tracker, and that most people didn't even know this is where you went to go get it, because why would they know? Because this is a sports book that's available in two states, I think, in the U.S.?
It is the least responsible, pro-responsible gaming thing you could possibly do. I had a friend reach out to me who can afford to take losses. So I don't like feel bad. He can eat losses, and he eats them. And when he wins big. But he messaged me, and he's always, you know, just being a not, what do you call it? A disciplined gambler is a problem for him. It's a problem for him to have the discipline and the willpower. And he messaged me multiple times how, like, you know, he's locked out of bet, like, he has just these things in place, you know, where you can, like, lock yourself out of the sites and such.
Yeah.
Right? Which, you know, I guess they encourage responsible gaming. And he's like, it's like, I can't go there. Like, if I go there, I'm just going to be making bets. Like, I always think a guy makes a bird, he's going to win the tournament. It'd be so dangerous for me. And that was after, like, I made my rant, like, this is wrong. This is a wrong place. Like, it's great they have it. And it's a great service that they have it. But being the sole proprietor of that information, while you're on some hand trying to condone responsible gaming, shame on you. Shame on all parties. That's how I feel.
I can tell you, because that's where I spent the majority of my week, was just tracking that app. That's the book that I have the best access to up in Canada right now. And that's where I have most of my money on in terms of the main book. And like, I probably lost an extra $150 to $200 throughout the course of the week that I just normally wouldn't be betting, because I was constantly on the site. Because I can afford to do it. That's fine.
And you're disciplined to, like, a point. Other people, but your $150
But that's my point, though. I am disciplined when it comes to this stuff. And just being on it for 12 hours a day, 4 days in a row, while watching the coverage and trying to track it, like, you're just going to make stupid bets. And listen, it's great for them. All gambling sites should just acquire the feeds to all these sports, because there is no better way to drive traffic to your site than to do this if people want to make bets in real time. But you're right, it being the only place where I can go find this information, this is not where I would have done it, because I know myself well enough that if I'm on that, it's like, oh yeah, I'll throw an extra $20 on Cantley at 1,000 to 1 to see if, you know, maybe he'll post a number here, maybe he'll chip in on 18, and all of a sudden he posts -4, and I'm gonna make $20,000. No, it didn't happen.
You're out. You said it. I don't know. You piggybacked off what I said. I think it's they got to figure it out. That being said, we have always lamented, like, you make a head-to-head bet, there's literally nowhere to follow your, I don't even know, Cam Davis versus Stricker. Like, there's nowhere to follow that for these majors, and unless it is the Masters per se, because the great job that they can do. Like, it's great that the book says, no, you can follow it, you can bet it here, we're giving you that information. A+ to the sports book. I don't actually blame the book at all. I blame the parties that allow this to be the only place that information is available. It's wrong.
Well, there is another part of the coverage I just wanted to touch on very quickly too, is that coming down the stretch, we saw Phil on 17, and Phil puts it into the left, and then you're like, is Phil going to be Phil and like try to jar this from the rough? And it would have had so much more context, because there wasn't really a ton of drama down the stretch. Like, you could feel like it was tense, especially if you were rooting for Phil. It's like, is Phil going to blow this? But he had a big enough lead that he was even able to put it in the water, and it really wasn't that big of a deal. There was any drop of water to go into on the back nine on Sunday, he found the right one to go into, where he just dropped it on the green and two putt for bogey. But at the same time, like, Matthew Fitzpatrick in a similar spot as Phil, duffs it, goes over the green into the water on 17. Cantlay does the same thing about, I don't know, 35 minutes before. We don't even see it on the broadcast. Like, having that in the back of the viewer's mind, like, hey, this is possible, that would actually add to the drama, wouldn't it? Because there wasn't a ton to begin with.
You made some great points through the coverage where we should be seeing the late holes. Show us the players playing well. Show us them playing those late holes So that hardened fan like you, who's dedicated his weekend to it, can see a visual of that hole. Or when a great player is in trouble on that hole, just show me that. Show me what getting in trouble on 17 or 18 will mean when 2 hours when the goddamn leaders are there.
Yeah,
and it's important.
And it's
and yes, Phil had the lead where he could make some mistakes, but he was even standing there on 17. I was part of the crowd. Like, he had three, right? No, he had a 3-stroke lead on 17T.
Yes,
because a birdie bogey sweat. I was like, you should lay up on 17. Just play for four. Play for four. Make Brooks make magic. And when Brooks hit that drive on 17, you thought something was magical. But the most embarrassing scene of the tournament, Pat, I mean, it might have been Louis' missed putt for birdie on 16, then three putting for par or for bogey on 17 on Saturday. That might have been it. But on 13 on Saturday, when he's just maybe finding a chance to get back in this as Phil is maybe slipping a little bit, he hits a horrible drive on 13, whatever, it happens. He then like lays up on 13 and then he shanks it into the water. Not even his second. He laid up and it was because he was too big of a puss. I don't want to say this, but he was too big of, he bailed out on his drive. He bailed out on his drive. And in the end, he left himself with a shot he had to take a risk on anyway. So I don't really understand. Sometimes these guys just delay the risk shot. I don't know. It was weird. Louis and Brooks, their putters totally abandoned them. It was painful to watch at times.
Yeah,
Louis more so than Brooks.
Sure, but it's not like, I mean, Louis putted really poorly on Saturday. Sunday, it wasn't as big of an issue. And even Brooks was complaining that, you know, that was the worst round I ever had on the greens. He gained stroke putting on the field. He putted much worse on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, and Phil and Louis both putted much worse on Saturday than Brooks. So that was just kind of an odd statement to make. But just looking at it right now, like, you can see why Louis has 5 seconds in majors since 2012. Like, it's every time that it feels like he's going to win, he just does something to shoot himself in the foot almost every single time. And it's so funny that his actual win at St. Andrews was flawless on Sunday. Like, he dominated Casey that Sunday, which was, but there is one thing I wanted to mention, that you talk about the 17th, the par three. I felt like it was such a huge advantage that Brooks had honors on that, because it could really dictate what Phil did, because Brooks doesn't hit the green or he leaves himself with like a 40-foot putt. Like, you know, maybe he drains the 40-foot putt and makes birdie, but it's, you know, very unlikely. It's like a less than 5% chance that he makes that putt. That if he sticks it to like 10 feet or something and has a really good look, I think it, knowing Phil and what he's like, I felt like it would have put pressure on him to go for the pin. He might have put it in the water, but he just never had that opportunity.
Listen, apparently the broadcast made it seem like when Phil put it in the water on 13, he had no idea Louis made a double, which was maybe fair. Like, he thought he was only up three and it's still on the 13th hole. So like, why am I having a total bailout, a bailout shot? But yeah, I don't know. Brooks, there a couple times. Brooks, what? He played the par fives. He finally birdied 16. But he doubled going into 16. He had a bogey on the previous three of them on Sunday. So he'll probably look to that par five Sunday scoring for him.
And just to kind of piggyback on the thing that you brought up about showing the guys out early, the point that I was trying to make was, and this is well before the leaders were out, that Webb and Horschel were playing really well on Saturday, I think it was. And why not just show them shot for shot, because they're going low anyway, and they're two, like, not like name brand players, but they're two players everyone knows who pays attention to golf. Just show them from 10 through 18, show all their shots, the good and the bad, that when we, like, 5 hours later, when the leaders get there, like, oh, okay, I know where Phil needs, like, if he's in this spot, it's going to be really bad. I saw Webb here 5 hours ago, and, like, this is a really difficult shot. You get familiar with the pin placements that, oh, it just adds so much more depth to the story that you're just not feeling blindsided the entire time.
Yeah, you're 100% right. Again, the naked and alone is what this coverage is like.
You know that?
I mean, I
have two things.
I'm always here to like glad hand the baby steps that the coverage makes, But I don't know. And I can respect Sunday. To me, I'm not even bitching about Sunday. I don't know. I can sort of buy into why this TV show wants to show you Phil walking. Like, well, like on all those back nine holes, essentially, instead of other shots. But the timing is just in embarrassing. Nobody is disrespected as much as hardcore PGA fans in sport. Nobody. There's not a fan of any league or sports entity around that is cared for as little as we are.
Here's the bad news. The world is full of uncertainty, and that might leave you feeling stressed or anxious. You want the good news? You can navigate change and feel more relaxed and quiet your mind with Calm. We're partnering with Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the tools that improve the way you feel. Clear your head with guided daily meditations, improve your focus with Calm's curated music tracks, and drift off to dreamland with Calm's imaginative sleep stories. If any of you go to calm.com/mayo, you'll get a limited time offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription, which includes hundreds of hours of programming and new content is added every week. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm to take care of their minds. Sleep more, stress less, live better with Calm. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering a special limited time promotion of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/mayo. So go to calm.com/mayo, M-A-Y-O, if you didn't know, for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/mayo. Charles Schwab Challenge. Let's jump into this and talk about the golf that's going on this week. So we're back at Colonial. This was the scene of the crime, Jeff. Post-COVID hiatus, everyone and their friends, they all came out to Colonial. It was where the restart happened. Obviously, Berger 1 beat Morikawa in the playoff. Good kickoff to the Custies, too. One forgotten one that we didn't go through with the Custies was Tim proclaiming it OVA for Morikawa, and he missed, like, the 2-foot putt to lose to Berger in the playoff. Or force, it was either to force the playoff or it was in the playoff.
No, I think it was to extend it, to be honest.
What was it? Yeah, like, yeah, he's definitely making this.
This was there were so many guys in contention. I feel like Shoffley, Neiman, like it was a barn burner of a Sunday, and it was great. Like, we didn't win a bet, but we like we're giddy like the next morning. Like, we just won a bet. Like, that's how much fun this event was, just to have it back and for it to be a truly great Sunday.
Yeah, I believe I had Rose and Xander, and they both ended up coming in.
Xander and I want to say Neiman. I don't know. I had two guys that I feel like just missed the playoff.
I think you had Bryson because he came seventh.
Oh, yeah. So that makes sense. I don't know.
But
sounds like me.
Last year, there was 156 players in the field. Normally, this is only 121, 122 player invitational. It is back to that this year. And a lot of people who played the course for the first time, I don't know how this is going to affect them, just like we didn't know how it was going to affect any of the players a year ago, but fans are back, grandstands are back. If you've only played this tournament last year, you don't know anything about the fans. There's now grandstands all over the place. So some of the shots that you may have played last year might not be available this year, and the quality of the field is significantly diminished, although it's still probably the second strongest field in the history of this tournament, at least since I've been covering golf in, let's say, the past 15 years, because you do have some pretty big names at the top. And it's one of my favorite courses, just like I like Harbortown, I like Sedgefield, I like Eastlake. It's one of these courses, Jeff, where everyone can contend. Like, you don't need to be a bomber, or you don't need to be the most accurate player. You need to hit irons, and you need to hit these very small greens, and you need to make your 15-foot putts. You do that, you're going to win. Ask Kevin Na.
I was on that. That was great. That was like 50-1. He's even higher this week, I think.
Yeah, I know. And he just won. I mean, when you look at the corollaries, I just kind of mentioned them. Sony, Heritage, Sawgrass, Wyndham would probably be... Sedgefield, yes. Wyndham would be like the four. And Na's already won at Sony this year. Yeah. So, the odds... You've already seen this. I tried to guess what the odds were on Sunday's show when I did the research. If you want to know like the stats behind this course and who projects out well in terms of the modeling, tune into Sunday's show on Mayo Media Network. Subscribe to Mayo Media Network as well. I predicted that Thomas and Spieth would be the co-favorites of this event. at 10-1. I was wrong. Spieth is 9-1. Justin Thomas is 11-1. Morikawa is 14. The defending champ, Daniel Hauserberger, 16-1. Answer is 18. Finau is 18. Reed's 18. Rose, Scheffler, and Big Will Z. Wills! All 25-1. I haven't bet anyone up here yet. I was thinking about betting Zalatoris at 25-1 just because he's just a new guy that I'm betting all the time now.
Yeah, I gave that a thought. It kind of struck me as a little strange. Would you say this field was harder or easier than the Heritage field, if you could quickly remember, the
harder.
Week after the Masters?
Harder.
This is harder?
Yeah.
Because the week after the Heritage, Will was like 30-33. And I thought the books were begging you to bet it. Like, bet it. Like, we want you to bet it. Because you just watched this guy be cool and new and amazing at the Masters. And, yeah, coming in 25 feels fair. I've made no moves here. I was really tempted quickly. A book I have access to posted a 15 on Justin Thomas that I probably should have just blindly smashed. And instead, I just, like, stared at and, like, should I do it? Should I not do it? And then they realized they made a mistake and quickly put Justin back to his drop-down odds. I'd rather bet. Well, it's Texas, so I don't want to say I'd rather bet Justin than Jordan. Don't see myself betting any of them. Answer, I mean, he did what he did yesterday, Pat. This finish off of leading the field in what, strokes gained tee to green at Wells Fargo? Or strokes gain approach at Wells Fargo, where he played out of the hard wave. Texas feels short. I could always eat a Finau at 22 potentially because I'm stupid.
Yeah, like this was the beginning of a really nice run for Answer last year. I think he gained almost 7 strokes tee to green coming out of the break. I think that he led the field at the Heritage the week after. So he's in the middle of this really nice run right now, and the odds have been beaten out of it. People are just waiting for Answer to get his win. I completely agree with it, but I'm just going to take the better-priced Answer in the next range. I've actually already made that bet, so when we get to that range, I'll tell you who it is. But
yeah,
Zalatoris has the most interest for me right now of these guys at his price. Like, obviously, I think that Spieth is better, and Spieth has a better chance to win. Does he have 3 times a better chance to win? I don't think so.
Yeah, I could totally see that. But let me, I mean, yeah, I had 25 of those. Like, I'd rather Will than Connors or Scheffler, who at least I'm seeing him with. I would say, let's say Answer shot 3 under yesterday. I mean, what's his odds? I still think it's 25-1.
Yeah, I think he's
50-1 to win them. He was 50-1 to win the PGA last week.
Yeah, I think that he should be. He shouldn't be 18-1. He should be 25-1. Rose is the one who is supremely overvalued. Do you know? I know Rose has won here before. He gained 11 strokes putting at the PGA Championship. That's the only reason he ended up where he did.
What number are you seeing on him? I missed you mention him.
25.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say shop.
Shop that number.
Well, do whatever. You need. Yeah, I could see where you're going. For me, I mean, I guess just because these are guys that I have bet a bit. Well, geez, there's more here. We didn't even mention Patrick Reed. I don't want him to win before Torrey Pines, though. But Finau or Zalatoris, Answer, if I made a move. And I'll probably end up betting one of these guys. I'm not going to lie. I like starting my card in the 20s.
And obviously these two courses don't have a ton in common. Do you know who led the PGA Championship in strokes gained approach by over 3.5 strokes?
Shit. I knew this yesterday.
He likes to party. He likes
Martin Laird?
Martin Laird. Yeah, 11.7 strokes gained approach. Beat Zalatoris, he and Charlie Hoffman both gained 8.2 strokes. Paul Casey and then Phil. That was your top 5 in strokes gained approach at the PGA Championship.
Happy to see Charlie's.
Chuck's already got my money this week. I thought the number on him was weak, to tell you the truth. But yeah, from that range, it's going to be probably Zalatoris or Reed, and probably neither. Maybe if Zalatoris sticks at 25, I'll probably end up betting him.
Would Answer at 22 do anything for you?
No, I don't think so. If Answer's going to win at this number, then he's going to win at this number, and I'm going to miss it, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, can't argue.
Like, realistically, the guy who's best set up for this course is the guy who lost in the playoff last year, and it's Morikawa. Like, this is an optimal course for him.
And he played great.
Yeah. Couldn't putt. Couldn't chip or couldn't putt. No big shocker.
Yeah, still finishes top 10.
Yeah, that's what he does. He's Justin Thomas. Whenever they putt, they win.
Yeah, I haven't made a move here. There are a lot of names that honestly entice me. I would say there are four of them in the. I mean, I see Answer above 20, but Answer, Reed, Finau, Will Z. I'll be betting one of those guys for sure, I think.
Let's move to the next range, 25 to 50 to 1. Here we got Connors and Sungjae, Neiman, Horschel, Woodland, Hoffman. No, now we're out of it. There's only a few guys in this 25 to 50. So it's Connors at 28, Sungjae at 30, Neiman at 40 to 1, Horschel and Woodland 45. Those are the only two guys. I've made two bets in here, Jeff. I bet Connors at 28 to 1. I bet Neiman at 40 to 1.
I'm all in on Neiman this week. I'll have that bet. Neiman 40 to 1. Seems definitely maybe my favorite guy going beyond 25 to 1 in front of 50 in this field, which is a range I really do like to bet on. And Neiman stuck out quickly out of the gate. So Neiman 40 to 1. Happy to see you're on Connors. Happy to see they've pushed Connors back a little bit. Last time we were in Texas with Connors, he had the same number as Patrick Reed, and I wasn't standing for any of that. But if they want to flirt with Connors around 30, I think that's fair. Maybe there's a decision I'll make between Connors or Sungjae. But really right now, the only guys I bet on Neiman and in front of 50 beyond 25, the other guy, I don't know. I'm a sucker for Woodland. I think I bet him a lot. And I think flirting with 50 could be really fair, but I'm not ready to pull any trigger there.
Woodland's interesting. I didn't even really give him much consideration, despite the fact that he had just played really well through three rounds, at least. At the PGA
Championship. And played great at Wells Fargo.
Yeah, and it's a short course, and that's generally where we like him, although he did play well at two really long courses in a row. Historically, this is where we tend to like him. I don't know. Like, I got room for someone else, obviously. Just with Connors, he has to take advantage of this good putting, and it's reverted back to not the levels where he's, like, legit bad, but he gained in five consecutive tournaments on the greens. He had never gained in more than two in a row at any point of his career, so maybe he's just reverting back to the mean right now. But the way that he's striking the ball, I mean, I talk about how Colin Morikawa is essentially like Justin Thomas when it comes to ball striking. Connors isn't far behind those guys. He's on their level right now.
Scary. It's great. You love to see it. Still think under 30, I would be pressed to eat points or take more points. By eating them, I mean, like, I know you've bet both, or you're looking at Willie also. So you would already be there. I'm dumb enough to think I'd rather eat some and go get one of those guys in the short 20s. But I'm here for Connor's win. Sort of like you said with Answer, though. Connors, anything like under, I don't know, in this range, I could miss it. I won't feel upset about it. I'll just be happy for him.
And
maybe
I,
they'll make more donuts here.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not usually on him all that much. Like, I haven't been betting him, despite the fact that he's one of the guys I used to love to bet all the time when he was a long shot and he would never play well whatsoever. Now he's playing well. He's at shorter odds. I just kind of see things setting up. And the reason why I kind of link him and Neiman, and Answer is the sort of other prototype guy like Connors. Neiman obviously hits it a lot further. But around the green here, at least in terms of contributing to the top five and top 10, means relatively little. That doesn't mean you can be bad at it. But if you're constantly forced to be getting it up and down and making pars, that's just not going to cut it at this course. Like, you need to be hitting the greens in regulation on these small greens, two putting or one putting. That's just the way that it's going to go. So if they're relying on their bad short games anyway, they were never going to win to begin with. So I'm not too concerned about that aspect of their game coming back to bite them in the ass. Now they're going to be like leading on the 71st hole, needing to get it up and down, and they won't do it because that's just the way my year's been going. But going into the week, that's not that big of a concern for me. So like I said, if they have to rely on it, they weren't never going to win anyway.
Yeah. I can't disagree with any of that. It's strange though. It's a very quiet, like 30 to 40 in a range is almost non-existent. So we'll see. I guess that means I might be making a couple moves in the 20s and then the rest above Neiman, and then a few beyond 50 is what I'm feeling at this moment as I'm mapping out my card in my head.
50 to 100 to 1. I've only put down one play so far in here. And it's almost like the very top of the board where there's a couple names that I can most definitely get in on. But I don't know if I'm going to get there. Charlie Hoffman at 55 to 1 was the one guy that really stuck out. Just the way that he's playing. We're back in Texas. He had a really nice week at the PGA Championship. Again, he kind of fits that ball striking mold that I'm looking for here. He's going to get hot with his irons. He's going to drive it okay. Can you catch a good putting week from Charlie Hoffman? And I'm going to say yes, so I'm going to bet him.
I could be here for the Chuck Hoffman victory. He's a form player. The form really does continue. I could give a free pass if I like a guy to sort of having his blow up moments on the weekend at Kiawa, sort of like Woodland Pat. Like I can look past like some ugly, a consortium of ugly holes. It's not going to stop me from betting you. We're in Texas. He's a form player. He's holding on to his form. A couple other guys though. Griot feels like he really does work here, Pat. I know it's always a big ask to feel like you got to get the Griot victory. A few names also in front of 100. This might sound like silly, but majors usually break Sergio, but he could be pretty good in the non-majors, and we're at Colonial, and I'm seeing him flirting 65, 70 to 1. And Phil could have given him a good kick in the ass. And then there's always Siwoo, Pat, who I'm seeing at a 90.
Yeah, I rebet it.
Of course. So those are the guys, and we could talk more. Ryan Palmer, Texas, 80. Normally we're in Texas. Ryan Palmer's like 35 to 1. So now here's an opportunity maybe to bet some Ryan Palmer at a good number. Or you could bet the Ryan Palmer within each way. That's not my style, but the number's so big. Normally, again, he's like half of this in any Texas event. Or like at least flirting with the 50. And Kuchar. I don't know why I got this Phil thing in my head. I just said Sergio, but he's been playing really well. Really consistent. You mentioned all sorts of guys can win here. So I got another name past 100, but from 50 to 100, those would be the names that have stuck out to me at the moment.
Just looking at the ball, like I said, this range is kind of packed with not necessarily the same guy, but all guys I can kind of create their path to winning. I think the one for me it's going to be, like I said, I'm on Hoffman at 55. I just bet Siwoo at 90 because I'm going to bet Siwoo at 90. It's Kokrak at 60 that really sticks out to me.
Kokrak, Tringali, Harmon. There's a lot of guys playing that have had really good, strong, consistent seasons. That we're getting a lot of hype not too long ago that are coming in north of 50 to 1 at a course that we saw historically really reward guys over in this 50 to 100 to 1 pocket.
How about your boy, former winner at Colonial, Chris Kirk?
I have 125. Are we there yet?
No, I saw him at like 80, so 125 is a much better number.
Yeah. Maybe they've already been dropping it, but yeah, go. I bet 125 to 1 Chris Kirk today. I'm sad to hear it breaking because that would have been, I could have free rolled the whole week on a Chris Kirk top 20 at his 125 to 1 number. So that's the triple digits that I have invested in, Pat, and it's still available at a cross-border site.
Okay, and like even guys that we didn't touch on, Wallace, Kevin Na, Streelman coming off a good week. Maybe Phil will go back-to-back.
Yeah, what, Phil? Billy Ho, 50. He kind of feels like the most forgotten good player in this field. I'm seeing Snedeker, you should line shop that if you're interested, because I'm seeing numbers all over the map for Snedeker, who's kind of finding some rhythm to his game. I don't know. I don't know how many bets I'll be making in this range, but it would be a shame. Do we have to bet Matt Wallace, Pat?
I don't think so here. Maybe we do. I don't know. Because I've been betting him so frequently, but the number seems really large considering I think he had dropped to 80 at one point last week before the tournament opened.
Yeah. I don't know, right? Kind of feel like I might have to. Siwoo was like 80 to 100 last week. I know we've already mentioned we're both... You've already bet it. I'm certainly going to bet it. I've named every name that would have maybe I would potentially have interest in front of 100. They're not for me, but I think this. There've been a lot of people who have maybe from the DraftKings or other elements been very happy with the production of Streelman and Tringali. I'm not betting them, but the way they've been playing, I think a lot of people have been betting them and are going to be happy to get these numbers.
Do you think that the back nine Friday broke Tringali?
Oh, I don't know. The simulation gave Fowler his game back and took it away from Cameron.
Let's talk about these 100-1 guys just very briefly. I only bet one of them. I see Gim staring me at 100-1. I'm trying not to let Gim hurt me anymore, but I'm probably going to bet it anyway. But I've made one bet. It's not Gim from above 100-1. Do you know who that player is?
I want to guess. The fact that you're asking me to guess means I probably should know. Todd or Luke List?
It's not. So if I describe this course to you as a short course with smallish side greens, what would you say about that then? Who's the guy this year who's only played well at that particular style of course?
Oh, I know exactly who it is. He's the specialist. Pebble Beach Heritage introducing Mav McNealy.
Mav McNealy is the name. 150-1. Played it with the each way. It seems like the books are kind of on it too, because for a guy who's made 4 of 10 cuts this year, the fact that he isn't like 500-1 is really jarring. But then you have these two finishes, second at fourth at pretty decent comp courses to this place, like Burger One Pebble, Burger One here. Like, I can see that Pebble Beach is somewhat of a similar style of course. Small greens, short course. Obviously, it's different grass types. You're going to need to putt a little bit better. But even going back and looking at McNealy the past 2 years at Colonial, he's made the cut both times, and he's gained on approach both times. And gaining on approach is not something he does often.
Yeah, I mean, there it is. You have... Once you profile this course to be a comp to Heritage and Pebble, go get all Mav. I don't know if I'll actually get there with the bet though. But I do see it. And in sort of looking in this range, seeing you're right, Mav McNealy feels short. Like for what McNabb for how well he's played at these types of courses, you could think what you want about the guys that are 150-1 that I'm staring at. Mav McNealy is far less accomplished than any of them, be it a Taylor Gooch or a Dylan Fratelli, Kyle Stanley, Adam Hadwin. But it is Fratelli, 151, who, looking for that McNealy number, did catch my eye. It was seemed to have a bit of a rough go of it at times at the PGA, but he's always a guy that's underrated, getting like, oh, it's Texas. Let's not forget about Dylon.
I guess so. I liked him at the match play, and he advanced from his group, but just like a single head-to-head game against him. That seems to be more of his format. I like him in head-to-head matchups. He's just so all over the place all the time. I can never really get a good feel for him. Like, the week that he won was the most atypical Dylan Fratelli week of all time, where I think he gained like 14 strokes putting or something stupid like that.
Okay. Wow. Are you going to be, which show do I need to tune into for the, Tom and Sky are going to break down. Oh no, they do the other tour. Sahith Tagala.
Tagala.
Yeah. It's like, isn't he some super kid?
Oh yeah. I don't really know actually much about that. I tend not to jump on these players.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm just seeing his name because there is a name. I'm going to say this name having no commitment to betting him myself, but he was 300-1 at his last event and he really peaked for a bit. And we've only lost 50 points. If you're interested, Rafa Cabrera-Bello.
No, your connection was unstable. I think you started to talk about Rafa Cabrera-Bello and the internet just wouldn't let you put that out into the ether.
Yeah, that's what happened. He was 300-1 for that last event. And he, what was he, first round leader?
I don't know if he even ended up being first round leader. He was like -7 through 7 holes, though.
Shit. Okay. So Rafa played well for, we'll call it 180 minutes a couple weeks ago. He's 250-1. I don't know how I'm going to build this card. The only bet I have is Neiman, but I'm interested in a couple in the 20s and a couple from like 50 to 80.
All right, well, let's do the quick picks then and see who we're in on already. Of course, you can always subscribe to the Mayo Media newsletter. It's under Wednesday evening. I'll have out the full picks, any updates, that kind of thing, along with Jeff's one and done, and maybe even where you can find some of his links. I'll put those in this week as well. For me, I got Connors at 28, Niemann at 40, Hoffman at 55, see, woo, Kim, with the each way at 90-1. And Maverick McNeely, 150-1 with the each way. Those are the five that I'm in on right now. How about you?
I have bet Niemann. I have bet Siwoo at 90. And I've bet Chris Kirk at 125. So Daddy's got a lot of room to play. I have an answer at 22 and a Finau at 22 that are staring at me. One of those, or Willie Z, will be on the card, if not two of them. And what else did we say we liked? Griot. I'm dumb enough to maybe be interested in Griot.
Okay. One and done.
That's where we are. My one and done, Pat.
Yeah.
Because I maybe sense it's an opportunity. I'm going to use Justin Thomas.
Okay. Justin Thomas in the one and done. Tim has Ander Kearse, poor Abraham answer this week. I'll use Corey Connors as my one and done.
You want the bets I've made? You want to just read them off? You can read them off?
Sure.
I bet Niemann, Kirk, and Siwoo. But so that obviously leaves me lots of room to bet some 20s.
All right, cool. All right. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, no worries. Later, boys.
All right. I'm Pat Mayo. You can follow me at ThePME on Twitter, fantasynational.com/Mayo, to get yourself 20% off. Listeners League link in the description. Smash the like. Give me your favorite value on the board. And I apologize for some of the internet problems that we were having today. We'll get those sorted out by tomorrow when DJ Jazzy Jeff Ulrich is on the show breaking down the DraftKings side of the Charles Schwab Challenge. He had to come back on after touting KH Lee 2 weeks ago. I have to apologize for not following along with him on that. So for now, I'm Pat Mayo, and I'll see you next time.
Pat Mayo Experience! Experience!